Blog Talk Radio.
I want to tell everyone about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal. Flip-flops are the most worn shoe. Even in America, almost everyone wears cheap flip-flops during the summer, sometimes even all year long. It's because they don't want to wear shoes, but there is 60 years of social stigma to overcome. Most people think it is illegal to drive a car, go to a store, or eat in public without shoes on. The fact is, there are zero laws, health department stuff, insurance regulations, etc. about going barefoot. Not only that, it is actually safer and more healthy to go barefoot than wear most shoes that we have been wearing for the last half century. Please check out the website barefootislegal.org and check out all of our social media. Going barefoot is safe, healthy, and legal. Barefootislegal.org.
Okay. Hello, folks. This is
Most people say they hate
radio.
Wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as empowerment, encouragement, and sharing just general information and support. Sorry, my throat's dry. Today, it'll just be me, Phoenix, hosting. Audrey has scheduling conflicts that have come up. There have been some tech issues with some ads, so they weren't running at the beginning. I got a new laptop, but yet the login isn't working for that. So, you know, it's a thing. But I, you know, appreciate patience for anybody that, you know, notices the gaps when we're having issues with running the ads and tech difficulties. Your patience is very appreciated. Unfortunately, a lot of people still don't realize that how crucial barefooting is to human health, and also that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. And it's really important to do your research, you know, find the information that you can on your own, but also, you know, curating the type of content that you engage in, you know. And you can even use algorithms with social media to your benefit with finding more information. If you want to know more about barefooting in general, you know, you can go to barefootislegal.org, which is the official site for Barefoot is Legal. And you can also go to our Linktree. The Linktree link is tagged on Blog Talk Radio here, the site, as well as the barefootislegal.org. But if you would like to just access the Linktree link yourself to find some more information on grounding and barefooting that we have linked, as well as we also link the shows of the week. It is sorry, my brain, where did I go? I had the wrong tab open. I just want to make sure I don't say it wrong to you guys. So the link, if you want to type it in yourself on like a laptop or even your phone, it should work on your phone as well, is linktr.ee/barefootislegal. And you can get some more links and information. But if you also go to our Instagram, which is RealBarefootIsLegal, then in the link bio there, you can also access the link tree for more information. There is information out there on barefooting. You know, barefooting is very normalized in different circles and communities, although the mainstream may look at it as a very weird or absurd thing at times, which definitely sucks. Because, yes, there are instances where you may have to wear shoes for your safety. I'm not going to go to a construction site barefoot. I have enough common sense and to know that there are certain places where, yes, we can't barefoot for our physical safety, but that doesn't undermine the importance of barefooting. And that also doesn't undermine the fact that barefooting is legal. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. There aren't. Unfortunately, most people think they are, and there's still ongoing propaganda. And against that, those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs, they're illegal. And unfortunately, most people don't know this. And if you notice, too, most places that put those signs up, they're written in fur and with Sharpie, honestly. Most of the places anymore that I have personally see, like anti-barefooting, signs, they're written on like a piece of paper with Sharpie, taped to the door, or something of that fashion. And it is illegal for any place open to the public to have a policy against barefooting, considering there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. And then, you know, an issue of liability always seems to come up, which is a valid issue, of course. That is a very valid issue to consider, and that can bring up fears and concerns from both a person with their own body, you know, going into a store barefooting, and also for store employees or store owners. But there are two sides of this, and, you know, it's really simple to work out and work around those fears around the liability issue. Because, one, if I personally go into a store and break something myself that's made of glass or whatever, and I step on it and get hurt, I'm personally liable because that was my actions and my body. I cannot sue or hold the store accountable for my actions in their store that resulted in my injury directly. That doesn't mean barefooting as your action, because remember, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. But if I break something myself, that is my own actions. If I break something and then I step on it, I can't sue them for that. You know, because as an adult, like I did that. But if there is negligence involved, you know, a store, business, whatever, is just actively not caring about the safety of their customers, that's very different than personal liability. Negligence, yes, that can and should be held against any kind of establishment. Because there are so many varying, you know, types of negligence, but in general, you know, we should hold, you know, any institution, corporation, business, or whatever, we should hold them liable to their negligence. But negligence would be if they knew that there was broken glass in an aisle and they refused to clean it up or do anything about it, or refuse to make that an issue. Or like when you're mopping and there isn't, you know, a wet floor sign, like that is a liability on there. If I were to spill something myself, whether or not I'm wearing shoes or not, if I were to spill something myself and get hurt in a store, I mean, I'm held accountable for that. Like, and so I think that this fear that comes from businesses and employees, whether they're owners, managers, or just your average, you know, employee, I think this is something that, like, does need to be looked at deeper. And we need to remember that, you know, barefooting is safe and natural. It is. But certain environments can promote threats to barefooting. And that isn't just physical, but that is also mental, these psychological mental structures that, you know, come to form. And we need to remember that when we are advocating for barefooting, we are not just advocating for the physical space. We are also advocating on the mental level. You know, we have to, you know, consider different logics and different viewpoints and be able to debate on them and be able to see around them and also be able to find information to support us. Because unfortunately, the only way to really be able to push back is to be able to understand, you know, different components of society and ourselves and our interactions with others. And I know that sometimes I can be very off topic with my ADHD and my autism, and I am sorry for that, guys, you know, but at the same time, I am who I am, and there is nothing wrong with being autistic, and there is nothing wrong with having ADHD. It has taken me a while to accept that I have both ADHD and autism, as I also have PTSD, and it covered up a lot of, you know, my existence and a lot of my love for my own neurodivergency, but also just my ability to embrace my neurodivergency for myself in, you know, the best way, as I've been in, you know, the APRAC here today. What is that word? Like, when I'm talking about when ADHD and autistic people, we can, you know, enter, I'm pretty sure it's called burnout, but, you know, we can enter these long-term periods where our nervous systems, you know, just kind of go into hibernation. They can last anywhere from, on average anyways, from 6 months to 2 years. But I definitely have felt like, you know, I have kind of been in this for the last, you know, 3 years. So I do apologize for, you know, any time that there have been frustration. So I appreciate everyone's patience, and I'm not here to dump, you know, on my mental health, but unfortunately mental health is something that there's not enough advocacy around, and there's not enough awareness around. There's not enough awareness on autism, ADHD. And it's something that, like, even though I got my associate degree, before I really entered this like shutdown, burnout, like hibernation stage where I just was just so burnt out, like my just brain was just so fried from, you know, running on fumes most of my life. And that is a very, very common experience for ADHD and or autistic people, especially if you have trauma. And it's really important for, you know, there to be mental health advocacy. And I want people to also understand that if you have like mental health issues, barefooting really can be an accommodation for you. It really can be. And when autism and ADHD aren't regulated, they can cause a myriad of different mental health issues to manifest. And it's really important for that awareness. And I honestly, yes, me and Audrey talk a lot about, you know, ADHD and autism, and, you know, I talk a lot in general. Audrey's been in her own, stage of burnout. I feel like I'm starting to come out of mine, and it's, you know, this is a normal thing, but barefooting is something that, you know, we are both passionate about, because it's one of the best accommodations in my life, and I think it's really important for us to embrace that side of things, that, you know, mental health is crucial, and barefooting can be a crucial aspect of, you know, sorry, did I misspeak? Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, you know, barefooting and mental health are very much so linked, and, you know, it is, barefooting itself is very much so an accommodation for your mental health. We understand that this is not a one size fits all. Autism is a spectrum. You know, it's called autism spectrum disorder. ADHD is a spectrum. Any mental health issue, any physical chronic illness, those are spectrums. So it is not going to be one size fits all. And we're not all going to be able to have the same capabilities. But at the same time, it's something that I definitely recommend anybody that has any kind of mental health condition trying out, because it may not seem like it'll help you, but connecting your body with the earth is so crucial for human health and human development. Even I would say from the information and personal experience that I've gathered. And so I do recommend checking out those links in the link tree. I have some more stuff that I'm trying to put together. I'm trying to, you know, kind of experiment with different link sites and different to be able to just like link it better and figure things out more, but it, as well. But there is a lot of information out there, and this is why, you know, it's really important to curate, you know, even your social media. And if you want to know more about barefooting, there's an account that I do recommend checking out is sorry, my brain right now. I don't want to tell you guys wrong. Okay, yeah, it's Barefoot Autism Challenge. So, you know, he advocates for autistic barefooters, and he's sharing some great information. And there's a couple other accounts that I've come across, you know, for information, you know, too. But you know, there's more of it out there. Like we are the only 501c3 nonprofit organization, you know, dedicated to the rights and legalities of barefooting. There are a lot of other people that, you know, are sharing their barefooting experiences, their neurodivergent mental health barefooting experiences, their physical health and disability experiences with barefooting. You know, this isn't just, you know, things that we're spewing. Like, there is information around this. And, you know, we've been in the process of trying to, you know, I've been putting together some ideas. It's been rough with the executive function, but my ideas are always there, which is hard because sometimes things don't always come across well when I try to bring them up in shows, and then we get sidetracked anyway, or I do, or me and Audrey do. But, you know, we are trying to put together some things to be able to have more content and information on barefooting to make it, you know, more digestible in other ways on the Instagram account Real Barefoot Is Legal. But I think it's really important for people to remember that barefooting is an accommodation for so many people. And unfortunately, there's not enough mental health or disability advocacy in the mainstream. And there's not really any good representation either. And I also apologize for any times that I have misrepresented or misspoken in a way that has, you know, maybe caused some confusion or possible misinformation because of my own executive function issues. I do apologize for anything like that. And I'm not saying that in a way to people please either. You know, I think that we should be able to admit when we haven't always been at our best, you know, and mental health is just something that isn't talked about enough. And so I think it's really important for us, you know, to also bring in that aspect of barefooting and bring in the disability aspect of barefooting. I have so much more motor control, like, and motor skills, I guess, if that makes sense, like within my feet and my legs and the rest of my body. I have better mobility when I'm barefooting. My pain is better. My overstimulation and understimulation issues are better. It also has, you know, been studied to help regulate the central nervous system, to help remove any stressors to the central nervous system, as well as just adding, you know, helpful benefits in the ways that it benefits the body physically as well as the mind. And it's really important to understand that, you know, we are electrical, biochemical, electrical beings, and we have electrical energy through our bodies. Our minds and our hearts are the most electrical parts of our bodies. And that's why because brain and heart are usually the biggest, you know, definers too of, you know, a person's being alive, like within medical situations. And a lot of health issues that, you know, impact people's safety and well-being are connected to heart issues, cardiovascular issues, and even a lot of brain-related issues. You know, there has been there has been, you know, an increase of a lot of different mental health conditions and, dementia isn't the proper name for it, but right now I can't remember what it is because they did change the name on it, as well as Alzheimer's. A lot of these things, you know, have increased in certain demographics that they normally didn't occur in. Now, yes, a huge part of this is the fact that mental health for so long has been underdiagnosed, misunderstood, misrepresented. And now, you know, we're entering a time where we're really starting to see that advocacy and seeing those effects and seeing those benefits. And it's really important for us to keep continuing with this and to keep pushing for it. And since a lot of people aren't, you know, in the mainstream addressing barefoot, I think it's really important for us to also address the mental health aspect of barefooting. And just realizing that we are more complex organisms than what many of us were told or really made to believe. And, you know, there is an education gap, unfortunately, in our country between social classes and different social demographics. And this can cause to a lot of misunderstanding of the human body, but also, you know, discriminatory ideas against different cultures that were, you know, very medicinal and rooted in the earth and taking care of the body and our, you know, connection with the ecosystem and the earth and understanding, you know, ecosystems and our relation to them better. This, you know, these discriminatory ideas within, you know, American history, you know, have influenced the way that the medical world looks at different natural medicines and different natural treatments. But, you know, nature does provide, you know, nature was meant to help provide for us. That's why we live in these ecosystems. If anything, that's why different people, that's why humanity exists, you know, that's why we didn't, you know, all just go into an extinction back then, you know, in ancient times. We were connected to the earth. We lived in unity with our ecosystems. And unfortunately, with modernization, there has been a lot of destruction of the earth and the ecosystem and human health and our connection to it. And I don't think these things are just coincidental, you know, that as the earth is, you know, under attack, because of pollution, littering in general, you know, just carelessness, but oil dumping. And it's not even the average people that most of the detriments to our planet are caused by. Unfortunately, you know, it is the 1%. And there are facts and there's so much facts and information and research behind that. And so I think it's really important for us as people to really start advocating for our planet and pushing back and showing that, you know, we're not going to allow people to keep disrespecting our planet and disrespecting our ecosystems. And if we want barefooting to be safe and if we want, you know, and remove those threats, take care of the planet. Taking care of the planet and barefooting go hand in hand. The reason why most people can't barefoot in most situations is because there are safety threats in the environment, and those, you know, have a lot to do with social demographics and social and humanitarian and human rights issues, as well as just general environment and ecosystem issues, environmental issues and risk factors and going on. And I think it's really important for people to really start connecting back to the earth. And that's something that I've really been trying to focus on is, you know, stabilizing myself and really connecting and grounding myself to the earth more than I have the last few months. And I've been, you know, in my own place mentally, and it's hard because mental health is rough. So I feel like I haven't even grounded as much. Like, I've been barefoot all the time, but I feel like I haven't really had that, like, intentional, like, touching the grass, like, really touching the earth. And it's hard when there's concrete and unnatural surfaces wherever you go, you know, and it's really hard to, like, even be able to connect with the earth directly, like, you know, and be able to find those places where, you know, you feel safe and you feel comfortable because of the environmental effects. But at the same time, barefooting is also, and connecting with the earth is also a lot easier than people may think, you know, and it can be hard when there's a lot of, you know, maybe, you know, as women, there can be a lot of threats to our safety, or, you know, trauma can make it harder for us to feel safer in environments connecting with nature alone. And that's also why I think it's really important for us to talk about and advocate for mental health and understand that, you know, mental health can sometimes be a barrier with being able to find barefooting in a way that you feel comfortable, but it can also be a reason why you need barefooting in your life, if that makes any sense. And, but I also understand that sensory issues and mental health is a spectrum. Everything is a spectrum. It's all very different for very different people. And we, you know, have to understand that it's not a one size fits all. You know, no one's ever going to be able to, you know, barefoot the same amount or barefoot in the exact same situations. That could be situations in our life as well as just general situations. With our health, well-being, and other aspects of our life. I'm going to try to go ahead and run a quick ad break. Unfortunately, having to still use my old laptop and it's had issues with running ads, so hopefully everything runs smoothly, but then we will come back. And, yep, this was, oh, but yes, I'm right here. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. So we'll try to run the quick ad break and we'll be back.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Of all the grounding studies,
the one that really got our attention, is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general support, encouragement, and just sharing just general information around it. Barefooting is something that is very crucial to human health. And barefooting has been researched and recorded to be a very crucial accommodation for many mental health conditions, disabilities, chronic illnesses, and other health issues, as well as it has been, you know, connected that, you know, a lot of health issues have skyrocketed, you know, as people have been less connected from nature in so many different ways. And not all of these studies are connectedly directed to grounding, but there are a lot of different studies showing that the disconnection from nature is detrimental to human health, and that includes mental health and neurodivergency, can be any chronic disability and chronic illness. But at the same time, it is also proven that exposure to nature is very beneficial for the well-being and recovery and remission of people with so many different life-threatening conditions, even people that go through life-threatening like incidents or traumas, as well as, you know, recovery with and stabilizing the person's health and nervous system with different disabilities and chronic illnesses. And this even includes cancer. I mean, there's research that out there that even shows that even with cancer patients, you know, being exposed to nature in general, even just having a nature scene out their window, like where you can see the trees, versus someone that has like a brick wall or a city scene that is in remission for the same condition with similar demographics, you know, and their recovery. So nature is really crucial to human health. And there, unfortunately, still, although there is a lot of research towards barefooting, there's still not a lot of recognition of barefooting in the medical world. And I think it's that we, you know, as barefooters, we really do have to advocate for it to be recognized by the medical world, whether that's mental health or physical health or anything else, chronic illnesses or, you know, acute illnesses. It's really important for us to remember that our relationship with the earth is crucial. Nature was, you know, there's so many different, I never want to disrespect anybody's beliefs, but, you know, when you look at across so many different cultures in general, and the earth was, you know, created to provide for us. And I understand that, you know, there are different cultures that may have other views on the earth, or our relationship with the earth, but there are more cultures than not that have had their root at some point, if not, unfortunately, modernization has disconnected us from the earth, so that there is some disconnection in, you know, the modern versions of these religions. But when you really go back to the root of a lot of different religions and indigenous religions across the globe, you know, the religions and the cultures that were indigenous to those different, to any area, that our relationship with the earth and using plant medicine and herbs, even spices, you know, like you can use to support your health and your well-being. And that can be mental health, physical health, even spiritual health, has been, you know, reported to be a connection. And, you know, or, you know, it's just, what I'm trying to say is it's just very crucial for us to remember that most people, most cultures, you know, originally had a very, very integral role with the earth and this belief that the earth is meant to provide for us. And the earth, and, you know, in many cultures believe that, you know, the earth, you know, being a goddess or, you know, some kind of entity, or, you know, herself, you know, so there's so many different beliefs and cultural ideas around the earth, whether you think it was, you know, believe it was created to provide for us, or you believe that it is its own being. I think it's really important for people to also, you know, dive within their own spiritual understanding and connect, you know, and understand how your relationship with the earth may be spiritually, because even if you believe that it's just something that, you know, the earth was just created to provide for us, I think it's still important to understand what that means. Allow the earth to provide for you. Don't run away from the earth. Don't destroy it. Allow the earth to provide for you. Allow the earth to be what it was supposed to be. And I'm a firm believer that multiple realities exist. I think that, you know, people do have a right to believe what they believe, as long as they are not discriminating and abusing and harming and hurting other people. And I think it's important for us to remember that the earth and us are, you know, we shouldn't be so removed as we are in this modern world with modern technology. We really do need to go back to our roots, you know, however that may look for you. And, but that can be, have, and to me, that has so many different meanings and so many within itself, within my own personal existence and experience. But you can even think about that as your body, your physical body, your roots. Go back to your roots. What is connected and closest to the earth? Your feet. Your feet are the closest thing to the earth. So, you know, barefooting is a great way to really develop, you know, whatever kind of relationship that you are looking to have with nature and the earth. Barefooting can be a really great way to do that. And that can be, you know, physical. That can, you know, have to do with your mental health. That can have to do with, just your general health in general. Even if you're not a person who is chronically ill or, you know, has a disability or chronic illness, you know, connecting to the earth still has benefits for you as well. It has benefits for everyone. And if anything, it's going to help, you know, prevent. It can be, barefooting is also a way of preventing, you know, chronic illnesses and issues from, you know, where it could start out as a minor injury and then it could spiral from there. You know, there are different, there's so many different things that can happen in the human body and there's so many different human experiences, but, you know, barefooting, I believe, does have a role in healing for all people, regardless of what your condition is. But at the same time, I understand that there is, it may not necessarily end up being barefooting for you if you have sensory issues. So, you know, around, you might have to wear something else. You may not be able to be directly barefoot, but, you know, find ways that you can directly still connect your feet with the earth, you know, finding, you know, different socks, you know, you can still, because sometimes I do that for my sensory issues. As long as the grass isn't wet, I just put socks on. Sorry, I kind of got on a side tangent, but where was I with that? I'll probably remember. It's fine. But factors go into barefooting helping you. You know, barefooting is preventative care. Barefooting is active care. And it is, oh, yep, I think this is what I was talking about, actually. Yeah, barefooting can be crucial to anybody. Even if you don't have a chronic illness, a physical disability, or some kind of disease, it can also help with different diseases as well, like that are chronic diseases that, you know, cannot be cured. It can help with your symptoms and experiences as well with that. But not only is barefooting, you know, key for those, you know, health issues, it is also key for all people, even if you don't have those things. It can allow you to transcend. You know, when we look at the Maslow's hierarchy of need, and I know I brought this up before, but I think barefooting can tie into all of these different needs, and we need to understand that we are complex organisms. And hold on. Yeah. So at the bottom, there is physiological. So this is going to be your body, as well as your mental health ties into this, because you have to think of the, you know, the electrochemical neurotransmitters and the electrical activity that's happening there and its relationship with your body and your nervous system. But then above the physiological is safety. And so for a lot of people, like myself and like Audrey, barefooting makes us feel more safe. And that can mean so many different things for different people. Your own internal safety. Even for me, I feel safer when I'm barefooting because I know that if I am put in a, you know, a life-threatening situation, you know, and unfortunately, you know, women, we do have to worry about a lot of more threats to our safety, unfortunately. And the demographics are there to show that, you know, most victims of most things are women. And so for Audrey and I, you know, have even discussed this, like, you know, on our own. I don't know if we brought it up on the show before, but like we feel safer when it comes to the potential risk of having to experience these things. Unfortunately, as you know, we both, or, you know, there's already, as women, you know, there's already a high demographic that have, you know, already experienced these things, and, you know, you can experience things over and over again. So if you have trauma, like, it makes you feel safer because barefooting gives me more control over my body. It gives Audrey more control over her body. And I know that if I'm put in a threatening situation and I'm barefoot, I have a better chance of getting out of there. I have a better chance of getting myself out of there and getting myself somewhere safe because I have more control over my body. So it's really important to remember that although there can be safety threats to barefooting, barefooting can actually make a lot of people feel safer. And that can also do with sensory needs and overstimulation needs. When you're overstimulated, that registers as pain in your brain. It registers the pain receptors. And, you know, It was actually a post that was, I can't remember the original account right now, but it was shared by Barefoot Autism Challenge. And it was like one of the things that really just clicked. I knew all this other information around my autism and my chronic pain and my fibromyalgia. But, you know, and then it caused me to like look into it further that overstimulation really does trigger the pain receptors in the brain. And so overstimulation with shoes is very, can be very detrimental. And I've realized that overstimulation in other ways have impacted my chronic pain, my fibromyalgia, and my fibromyalgia is directly connected to my autism, my ADHD, and my PTSD. And, you know, so there can be these overlaps, and health in the body is so complicated. And if you have any kind of neurological condition, you know, barefooting can actually help with that, with regulating the nervous system. It may not cure you. It may not fix you, but it can still help. So barefooting is still key to safety. But then going to the next level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is belonging and love. And I think it's really important to advocate for support around barefooting. Unfortunately, a lot of people are not barefooters. And because of that, you know, there is going to be this detriment to belonging and love and community even is tied into that. Family is tied into that. Acceptance is tied into that. And the part of the reason why, you know, I talk so much about, you know, I've talked so much about autism and, you know, why we also talk about ADHD is because a lot of people don't understand those. There's not as much awareness around it. I feel like I've had to learn more even myself, like outside of getting my associate degree, than we ever talked about in classes. I feel like I had such a dumbfounded view of autism when working on my associate degree at first. But we are in a crucial time of things changing. Information's coming out. You know, the DSM-5 was just updated, and this has benefited the autism community as well as different neurodivergent neurological conditions. I am not as well versed on those on the updates and the benefits of those other neurodivergent conditions as much as, you know, autism and ADHD, as, you know, those are the things that I've had to focus on within kind of like my year of recovery. And it's, you know, been a little bit longer than a year, but, you know, but it's really important to remember that when people don't accept barefooting as an accommodation for autistic and ADHD people, like the valuable and crucial accommodation that it is, this is a detriment to us and our health. And this can spiral out in so many different ways. And we are all, as people, very complicated organisms. We are not just as simple and dumbed down, unfortunately, as a lot of our understanding in the mainstream and as a collective has been regarding human health and human consciousness and the relationship between our mind and our body. But remember we need to remember that our central nervous system, it starts at the end of our brain stem. Our brain and our mental health is a huge crucial aspect of regulating the nervous system. And any other effects on our nervous system are really going to affect the brain, the neurotransmitters and biological chemicals released. And when you have an influx of all these negative things, this is going to hurt you. And barefooting has been connected to regulating the nervous system, removing stressors on the nervous system, as well as adding more and benefiting the nervous system. And so, unfortunately, people who are neurodivergent, and this doesn't just apply to necessarily to autistic and ADHD people, this, you know, the central nervous system and the relationship between neurotransmitters and biochemicals in the brain, that's crucial for anybody that's neurodivergent. And it's going to take time, of course, to be able to build that relationship, but it's also really important to connect with the earth directly. Unfortunately, a lot of these concrete surfaces and other man-made surfaces still do not give us the full benefit of grounding and earthing, and can actually still, I mean, yes, a lot of that electrical energy, excessive electrical energy, which has been connected to the detriment of health in so many different neurodivergent people as well as neurotypical people. This has, you know, been talking, this has been reported. And so although you are still releasing and you're, those extra electrons, extra electrical energy that would cause, you know, that causes detriment to human health in general, you're not going to get the same full effects as connecting with some form of the earth. That could be grass, that could be sand, that could be rocks, that could be dirt, mud, water even. Like, even, it doesn't matter how much water necessarily, you know, just any kind of natural surface. And I understand that people have different texture and sensory needs. And so there are different ways, though, that you can find this and hopefully be able to find what works for you. And I think it's just really important for us, too, if people have sensory issues and can't fully barefoot, finding something to cover their feet that doesn't have a rubber sole. I personally haven't looked in enough into non like rubber sole barefooting shoes. That is something that I have on like my little list of things to look into when, you know, I have the time and the executive function to do so, as well as, you know, my health is in the place to keep up. But like, that's why I wear socks a lot. And so wearing socks a lot, you know, does, you know, affect my feet's ability too callous at times, but I still am getting all of the benefits of barefooting that I would being actually barefoot, even though my feet may not be adapting in the same way. I'm still getting those benefits because I don't have something that is stopping the flow of electrical energy to the earth. And rubber soles, you got to remember, rubber it stops the flow of electricity, stops the flow of electrical energy. So this, you know, stopping the flow of electrical energy is very crucial, because that's why wearing shoes is detrimental. And I think really it's interesting, like, we need to start listening and focusing on the feet in general and focusing on the feet with health. Even if a person can't fully barefoot, how can we even find ways to accommodate for your sensory needs so you can still barefoot without it, you know, being a problem? Because yes, you may not be fully barefoot, but to me, wearing socks, that's, you're still barefooting, you know, your feet may not be fully adapting, but depending on the types of socks I'm wearing, my feet still do build up toughness. And it's actually funny because, like, I don't have as much calluses, but there are certain things that, like, you know, even if I'm fully barefoot, it's like I still have resistance to things, you know, and my muscles are still able to, you know, do what they need to do. My body is able to just function the way that it's supposed to. And so I think it's really important for us to advocate for these things so that way these accommodations can be recognized. Because loving, belonging and love needs, those are really important. Again, going back to this Maslow hierarchy of needs, this is like the third one from the bottom, the other two being physiological safety, and then the third one from the bottom being belonging and love. If we don't, you know, advocate and accept and have awareness and, you know, valuing and accommodating kind of attitudes towards different people that need to barefoot for different reasons, and even those same kind of understanding mindsets within our own community, then we are just going to end up hurting people that barefoot. And if you don't have those love and belonging needs, I think that's a huge barrier to why a lot of people don't barefoot, is they are afraid of being rejected. They are afraid of, you know, not having a community anymore. They're afraid of other people's thoughts and opinions on them. And, you know, barefooting is often labeled as this crazy hippy dippy crap or whoa. And it's just like, no, there are so many different cultures and spiritualities and religions and that have had a crucial relationship with the earth and barefooting. And even if barefooting isn't something that shows up in their texts, You have to remember, too, they weren't wearing rubber soles at different points in ancient history, and they were barefoot. That was just a part of their culture already. It's not something they had to advocate for or talk on. You know, it doesn't mean it wasn't there, though. You know, and but also, too, there is research and information, and even for myself and other people I know, barefooting helps with their different health issues and their different connections. You know, I have different friends that have started, you know, barefooting because in different ways, because of their physical health issues and or because of their mental health issues or because of their neurodivergency. Barefooting is healing and barefooting is safe. It is not some crazy bull crap. It has been reported even within the physical experience of people around me and people I know that are barefooters and other people's, you know, content on barefooting, as well as, as well as the research that is there, is a crucial accommodation for the mental health and physical health as well. And there are just so many different aspects. And also, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. It is completely legal and it is completely safe. It is. And, you know, and I think it's really important for us to remember that and advocate and remember all the different conditions. Unfortunately, there's not enough mental health and disability advocating in general, but at the same time, there's barefooting, you know, isn't brought into the light in the mainstream, you know, in the way that I really do think it should be. And based upon myself and my experiences, but also people that, you know, are within this community, people within my own life. And so we really need to think about how that, like, this fear of not having community, this fear of not being accepted, this fear of being ostracized and not belonging or being just dismissed in some kind of way is a social factor that keeps a lot of people from barefooting and also discourages a lot of people from barefooting. And so I encourage more people to start really understanding the relationship however you can. You know, I'm not going to demand that, you know, you put hours of research into something if you personally do not have the time, executive function, or other aspects of your health, you know, are keeping you from that. If you don't have it within you, you know, do what you can. You know, experiment with barefooting as you can, or ground and earthing in general and connecting yourself to the earth. Because even if you have sensory issues that stop you from barefooting, that doesn't mean that grounding and earthing doesn't help you. And I think that just because people may not be able to barefoot or fully barefoot, you know, with their feet directly touching the earth, you know, they may still have to wear socks or something else that will still provide the electrons to flow to the earth, but, you know, we'll still keep them from, you know, any sensory, like no-nos, you know, that you're just like, can't do that, not happening, you know, it'll be able to kind of find that balance. I think that people who barefoot and people who still need earthing for their physical illnesses can still kind of support each other. You know, we can still have a supportive mindset for each other. I don't think that, you know, if a person can't barefoot for sensory reasons or has to wear socks or has to find other ways of being able to ground themselves, because there are also physical health issues that keep people from being able to barefoot because, like, I mean, even with diabetes, neuropathy can stop you from barefooting. And diabetes is very common, but I do think that there are still benefits that people with diabetes or people that may have diabetes, but as well as other maybe neurodivergent or chronic health issues or disabilities could still, you know, gain some good things from grounding and earthing. So I think that, you know, we should all be understanding and accommodating that, because unfortunately there are people that, you know, because they can't barefoot because of their health issues, like me and Audrey had experiences of certain people, like, and it's usually been strangers. It's never been anybody that, like, is, you know, those close, safe people to us that have said those things. But, like, I've had strangers or, like, kind of, like, acquaintances or, you know, people that you see reoccurringly in different environments have attitudes of that are negative because they can't barefoot for their physical chronic health issues, but you can, and it helps you. And I've even seen that from people that wish they could barefoot. And it's like, hey, we're not here to shame you. We're not here to attack you. And I understand that may trigger maybe some kind of jealousy, but you can still find the benefits of earthing and grounding, even if that can't be through barefooting. So I think we should all just like come together and support each other and just be like, yeah, recognize that these are things that are real. And as a society, just start having a more accepting view of barefooting and earthing and grounding, and even barefooters accepting, you know, and I'm not saying that there's a bunch, but every now and then, you know, there you'll come across those barefooters that are, you know, sometimes dismissive towards people that genuinely can't barefoot because of sensory issues or different physical chronic illnesses or whatever. And it's like, so, you know, like we are all complex organisms with different things going on in our bodies, going on in our brains, whatever, in the central nervous systems, you know, but we need all just like have this accepting view of barefooting or however a person needs to ground themselves. If that isn't barefooting, maybe barefooting isn't accessible to them either. And if barefooting isn't an actively accessible thing in your daily life, then this is also going to, you know, impact your ability to barefoot because of safety or your work, where you work, the work policy, you know, people got to pay their bills. This doesn't make you any less of a barefooter if you can't barefoot full time, you know, and also it's a journey. You have to work into it, you know, it takes time to get used to, you know, so but for some, you know, and some people's bodies may adjust better than others, quicker than others. It depends. But we need to have our society in general needs to have a more accepting view of however people need to ground and earth themselves. Because so that way people who barefoot or aren't ostracized, and not that there are many like at all, but every now and then you'll find those barefooters that, you know, are kind of ostracizing towards people that are like, you're like, oh, well, you know, you want to, you know, ground yourself to the earth and you want to talk about the earth, but you don't barefoot, dismissing people that, you know. And of course, that's like a small percentage of the barefooters that I've ever met or actually come into contact with, unfortunately, you know. So sometimes you'll see stuff on, you know, in comments of not necessarily on like, you know, barefoot is legal either, but sometimes, you know, in other people's posts, I've seen some people say negative things. And it's like, you know what? Then you miss the point, you know, like, I guess, of understanding, you know, something, because we're all very different. So you do you and find the ways that are good for you. But I think it's important for us to all understand each other in a much broader sense and have a much broader sense of acceptance and awareness of each other, however that looks. But then the next level, so the fourth level from the bottom on Maslow's hierarchy of needs is esteem. So self-esteem is usually like tied into that. So this can do with like confidence, achievement, respect of others, but as well as just like, you know, being respected, not just also like respecting others, but the respect that you're receiving. How do you feel respected? And also your need as an individual. So esteem is also going to be tied into self. And before you can have self-actualization and then transcendence, which are higher up on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you still need to have that kind of esteem sense of self in order to get to those higher levels of being. But so I feel like the self-esteem really does also tie into the things that, you know, saying before about tying into like belonging and love. But at the same time, important to remember that like barefooting isn't, you know, the opinions of other people towards your barefooting, that doesn't take away from your self-worth. That doesn't take away from your value and self-esteem, and you shouldn't internalize these things. And that's something that I even struggle with. And that's something I have struggled with a lot more in the past, but you know, it's something that every now and then, like when my mental health is worse, overstimulation at periods, can, you know, trigger meltdowns and a bunch of other mental health issues. And it can be really easy to start internalizing the way people view me with barefooting and internalizing the ways that, you know, people view me in general. And so I think it's really important to remember that sometimes, you know, we really can internalize a lot of things that we shouldn't be internalizing that then become a detriment on our mental health and our well-being. And once you start once it starts, you know, it can be hard to stop at times, you know, with the internalization and that, and whatever reason you may be internalizing things. And so I think it's really important for us to remember that, like, yeah, we need to, like, it's okay to be mad about the criticism and the judgment of other people when people try to be discriminatory. Like, we should be, you know, mad, especially since there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. Like, come on, guys. Find something better to do, you know? But at the same time, I think it's like your anger serves a purpose. Anger is actually better than internalizing it and getting anxious. Now, I don't recommend blowing up. I recommend concealing your anger enough to handle the issue, to have an adult conversation. Like, you know, when you're as adults, like, yeah, when kids are young, and especially depending on the environment you were in, you know, when you're a kid or a teenager, whatever, you know, a simple thing can turn into a fight. But, you know, you can bring up an issue and you can, you know, maybe quote unquote argue with it out actually being a full on fight. And that can be really hard because sometimes if you're conditioned to look at things that way, that can, you know, cause an internalization with self-esteem. So when people bring up these things to us, like, I do recommend, you know, kind of holding yourself together and holding your composure to just have, you know, a conversation. Like, yes, you may be arguing or having to advocate for yourself, but that can be a conversation, not a fight, you know? And you may be saying that something that someone doesn't like, but that doesn't mean that it has to be a fight. So I recommend kind of holding your composure enough as you can, but at the same to get your message across. And this is just because to protect you, unfortunately. You know, we do have to be mindful to some degree, but that doesn't mean that you should shut down and not stand up for yourself. It's about balance, you know. But if you start, you know, raising your voice or saying things that are potentially verbally assaulting, even if they started verbally assaulting you first, it doesn't matter. You know, that can end up backfiring on you. So it's about saying your piece and standing up for yourself without endangering yourself, you know? And obviously if we get into our anger too much, depending on the person, depending on your mental health issues, that could potentially be dangerous. So I recommend, you know, just keeping your cool, you know, take a deep breath, maybe take a couple. And remember, and just remind people that, you know, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. It's illegal for you to have a store policy against barefooting. I'm not doing anything wrong. If anything, you're actually breaking the law. And I know, or something like that, where Audrey, you know, she personally likes to ask, well, why can't I have shoes on here? You know, referring to why can't she have shoes on in here when they say she can't. Because she wants to understand why they think that. And a lot of the times they'll be like, well, there's a policy against it. And she'll be like, no, there's not. It's illegal for them to have a policy against it. And, you know, and then you can add on in that there's no laws or health codes against that. So, you know, finding those ways to strategically stand up for yourself and get your message across without even being manipulative, you know, just being strategically protecting yourself. And that doesn't mean manipulation either. You know, we have to be smart. And you have to remember too, like, I manipulation and persuasion are kind of like two sides of the same coin. It's kind of the same thing, but manipulation is toxic and persuasion isn't. So, you know, you want to understand where the person comes from and have your argument, you know, and your facts, but that's different than manipulating a person into seeing things your way. So you can be strategic without being manipulative. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people forget that as well. And remembering that, like, stand up for yourself and identity. But when you leave those situations, you know, try not to let that anger internalize. Instead, fuel that anger into you know, well, what can you do to help advocate for barefooting? You know, if there are anything, any things that made you angry, you know, how can you, you know, talk on this and share on this in a way that is healthy? Because anger shows us that there's something that's not right. There's something that happened to us that's just not right. Something's triggered. And in some cases, that can be a past or previous trauma. But in other cases, that can simply just be that, you know, oh, I shouldn't have to say this. Oh, I should just be able to barefoot. I should just be able to live in peace. Like, I just want to be left alone. Like, believe me, I've felt all those things. I think most of us have, you know. But it can be very discouraging. But we remember not to internalize that, but instead be like, okay, you know what? I need to do this more then. But remember to protect your mental health. If it is going to be detrimental to your mental health to push yourself to go out more in public barefooting than you are capable of, or it's going to be detrimental to your physical health, don't do it. Like, barefoot is about restoring and building ourselves up, right? So let's not do the opposite while trying to advocate, okay? Like, you know, let's be grounded and let's have balance. But sometimes I have to remind myself is like the discriminatory ideas around barefooting and the pushback I get is why I need to do it more and why I need to talk on it more and why I need to stand for myself more. And that's why I shouldn't be ashamed for bringing it up to random people. And, but that doesn't mean that, and, but also finding that balance of not over explaining yourself to people, because you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. You don't really have to. Who gives a flying crap what these people think, you know? Like, that's how we kind of have to be in general. And so remembering with that self-esteem, which is the fourth from the bottom of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the bottom one being physiological, safety, being the second one, the third one being belonging and love, and then the fourth one being esteem. And I'm kind of talking about how these tie into barefooting and human health because it is crucial. And I don't know. This is something I – like, one of the things I loved, I think, the most almost – well, there's a lot of things I loved. And when learning about mental health, you know, when I got my associate degree, but, like, before, you know, experiencing, you know, burnout with my own health – it was one of the things I really enjoyed, but unfortunately, there, like I've said before, there's a lot of ways that I'm realizing that some of the things I learned in college really were outdated. And I got my associate degree last May, and I've learned so much more about understanding my autism and my ADHD and my PTSD and understanding my physical body and the connection of the brain and my fibro even as a neurological condition. And a lot of that has gone side by side with my barefooting. And barefooting, since it, you know, helps with the overstimulation and grounding myself, it makes it easier for me as someone who struggles with interoception to navigate those things. And when you're not grounded properly too, like, that can affect your self-esteem, that can affect internalization. And so with this hierarchy, it is very crucial to get into all these points. But remember not to internalize these things. And take it serious, you know, take people that seriously. But remember that this is a reason why, oh, do it more, you know, stand up for yourself more. Just be less afraid of barefoot, because if anything, it shows that you, there needs to be more advocacy. So build yourself up to be that advocacy, you know. Audrey, you know, we always lived in, like, the same city. And so for her, you know, she's been barefooting a lot longer than I have. You know, she's also older than me. And so, you know, she used to get a lot more pushback in the same areas, going to all the same places, than I get now. And I think, honestly, Audrey and other people in this area, because I know that she's not the only barefooter. I've come across other barefooters, actually, in places where I didn't think I would at times, or people that still support it. When they see me barefooting, and they know other people that barefoot in their life or around the area. So remembering to just, like, be that advocacy, because I really feel like Audrey and the other people in my area that barefoot are probably why I don't get pushed back as much. And also, like, there are places where I used to get kind of pushed back, and I would just bring it up, like, oh, there are no laws or health codes against it, like, it's an accommodation, and, you know, and just kind of just try to bring that up and put it into the conversation. And I think that it's something that we need to remember that, like, yes, like, one person can't change the world entirely. I mean, unless maybe you're a billionaire, I mean, they really could do a lot with that money, you know, but whatever. But, you know, the average person, like, yeah, we may not be able to just completely change the world. That's why community is so important. And that's why we all need community. And that's why community has ever been a thing and, you know, is still a thing, and why communities are growing and why there's such a push for that, you know, especially with the younger people like myself. I mean, I'm 21, so I'm not that young, but, you know, I'm technically a Gen Z. And, you know, like, community is a big thing that, like, you know, we're trying to push and advocate for, because we're realizing how lack of community has been a detriment to ourselves. And community does tie into self and belonging, but it also does tie into esteem. It also ties into cognitive, which is the level on a Maslow's hierarchy of needs above esteem. But community is also going to have to do with aesthetic, self-actualization, and transcendence, which are the other remaining levels. And just remembering, you know, to just stand up for yourself and have those balances, but also finding that community and having that community. And one person may not change the world, but community is there for you. But you can help your community and help those within your community by doing it yourself in a way, you know, by being the advocacy, by standing up for yourself, by educating people, by just not being scared of barefoot and remembering, you know what, if people are telling me I can't do this, even though I can, because there are no laws or health codes against it, I need to do it more. Like, I'm not going to be squashed like a little bug, like, you know. And it's hard because for me, like with my autism, I sometimes just don't want to be perceived. Like, and it's hard when, like, I'm going to out in public for whatever particular reason I have to. I just don't want to be perceived by strangers. I'm not that good with social cues, super awkward. Because of my issues with social cues, a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, my barefooting will assume I'm on drugs. And that's because people don't understand barefooting, and they also don't understand autism. And that's also why I've talked a lot, you know, at different times about autism and how, like, what that's like and what it's actually like to advocate for that and advocate, you know, really for myself and other barefooters who are like me. It's not even just about me, because there are a lot of people who are also autistic that barefoot. Like, a lot of the people in my life are neurodivergent, and there are other people that are autistic. One of the children I nanny, you know, barefoots all the time for the same reason. And I think it's really important to recognize that, you know, this is an accommodation for autism and what autism looks like in women too, because a lot of people have had those harmful attitudes and mindsets towards me, and it's really harmful. But at the same time, like, if I'm talking about it, so it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes I'll just, like, if it comes up, just go with it, you know, and the best way you can, advocate on it. So that way other people like you, you know, don't have to deal with this, you know? So that's why for me, like, if other people ask about it, like, I bring up my autism and my other physical health issues. I'm like, well, it's an accommodation for me, and there are actually no laws and health codes against it, because I want people to understand that it is an accommodation, and also to stop assuming that I'm on drugs, okay? I am just a fun, eccentric, ADHD, autistic barefooter trying to live my life that also is social anxiety and gets overstimulated and is bad with social cues, just, you know? And so at the same time, yes, it may sometimes, you know, be hard for me to even feel these things, you know, reminding myself that, you know what, like, I can advocate for people like me. I can advocate for myself. Like, just keep pushing. Like, it's okay. Like, I don't need to internalize this. And these internalizations, this is also going to have to do with cognitive. But also, if you don't have communities and places to cognitively connect the way that you need to, that can, you know, be detrimental to human health. And, you know, we only have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to, you know, be wrapping this up. Depending on how things are looking next week with the show, probably try to get into those other two needs, and maybe, like, just try to brush through the other ones quickly for, like, a refresher, and also for those that may not be listening now but will be listening next week. But we are on the 90-second warning. But remembering that, you know, barefooting is crucial to human health and well-being in so many different aspects. It includes mental health, physical health, as well as spiritual health. And there are so many different aspects of human health, unfortunately, that have been dismissed because of discriminatory ideas on different, you know, cultures and different natural medicines. So remember that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. Those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs are actually illegal. I'm not sure actually what the policy is on wearing shirts, but the no shoes part I know is illegal. Okay. So stand up for yourself, live your best barefoot lifestyle. But remember, this is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Me, Phoenix, hosting today. But take care, guys. Wishing you all the best. Bye-bye.